Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp Online Therapy. I've talked about therapy now for quite a while. I think it's so important. It is like maintenance on a car. You just got to do it. It's so, so important. We talk about BetterHelp a lot on the show. And now that they're releasing a new podcast called Getting Better, Stories of Mental Health, you guys have to go check it out. Season one just dropped with episodes featuring interviews with notable people like NBA Hall of Famer Chris Bosh, talking about anxiety, pop star Meghan Trainor on motherhood and panic attacks, Wilmer Valderrama on immigrating to a new country, and more. Mental health is something that we should all be focusing on, just as much as we should focus on our physical health. So join BetterHelp as they continue to fight to destigmatize mental health and show people that everyone struggles with something, so we need to talk about it. You can do your part to help by listening and sharing your favorite episode and spreading the word that it's okay to not be okay. Find this awesome new mental health podcast, Getting Better, Stories of Mental Health, on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or Spotify.
So hot, but I'm out to feed. 3, 2, let's go. Pick up the corses, let's roll. Make it rain like we're from the tropics. Drip drop hot, cause it's on my lips. A, B, let's see. Are you ready? So hot. There's no need to talk about it. You already know we all about it. And when we go all in. There's only one way to talk about it. Shoot and shit like a talkaholic. And when we go, you go.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Humble and Hungry. I'm your friend, Natalie Pouchet. Welcome back, everybody. Happy Monday. I feel like this is a Monday that we should have had last week, but you know, life happens. I feel like I'm fighting a little bit of a cold now. I took care of everybody. Now it's my turn. Although I'm not sick. I'm like fighting it. You know when you are fighting it, it like wants to come on and you're like, nope, not today. So I'm just taking a bunch of zinc and vitamin D and Airborne and just drinking my green juices and hoping for the best. You know, I have to say, I'm really excited for this year on the show, because I think last year I was really intimidated about having guests on and really reaching out because I felt like, you know, who am I? But I said, fuck it. I'm going to start DMing people. I'm going to start messaging people and seeing who wants to come on the show. People that inspire me, people that I look up to or feel like you guys would really enjoy. And I've been doing that. And guess what? I'm getting responses. So I'm very happy about that. So I feel like we have a bunch of cool guests lined up in the near future. And I cannot wait for you guys to listen to that. But for today, I have my friend Joanna Arichta. And we've actually known each other probably our entire lives, but didn't really talk for a few years. She's my cousin's best friend. But a few weekends ago, we went and had drinks, a few girls and I, and I wish the microphones had been on during that conversation because it was just, I learned so much. Like, these are badass women in their own fields, you know, finding their own sort of way in the world and paving their own paths and starting their own companies. It's really cool to see my peers creating these concepts and doing these insane things, it really empowers me, or I hope it empowers you too, but it really empowered me to feel like, yeah, okay, I can do this too. I don't have to be so intimidated. And so I wanted to have her on the show. She has done numerous Zooms and conferences on how to negotiate for a raise, how to negotiate in a room. Honestly, a bunch of just like tips and tricks that she's learned along the way in her career. She went from being in the music industry to going and getting into the tech world and worked at ZipRecruiter for a bunch of years. And now she just launched a digital marketing business last year with her husband and co-founded this newsletter called The Assist. And she's gonna talk all about that and how to level up. And I'm just really excited for you guys to listen to her and her story. Lastly, I got a lot of messages about you guys wanting to hear the song that I had made for Riley for Christmas. And it turned out, you guys, so sweet. And he may or may not have cried four times. Don't tell him I told you that. But it really is so sentimental. And if you know our story, our love story, then I think you guys are going to love it too. So I will play that for you guys at the end of the show. And yeah, I hope you guys have a fantastic week and enjoy the episode. Stay hungry. Joanna, welcome.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you.
This is my first podcast, like, ever. Yeah, you popped my podcast cherry.
Oh my gosh. I hope it's not too painful.
No, I like it. I've been listening to your stuff and I love the flow. So I'm confident in us.
Oh, good. I mean, I will say, so for everyone that doesn't know, so Joanna and I, well, Joanna's best friends with Tanya, who you guys are well aware of.
Yes.
And you guys have known each other for what?
Oh my god!
Five?
I don't even want to count. Yeah, we're
like a very long time.
Yeah, decades. Decades.
Yeah, and I met you probably like when I was like five.
Yes.
But then we sort of like lost touch.
Yeah, I know. And then in the last year, I feel like we've seen each other a ton. Like we went to Hawaii. You guys came to my wedding.
Yes, exactly. And by the way, did you get sick in Hawaii? Now I don't remember who got sick.
I didn't get sick. Like Rich
you
and
guys
I got.
Didn't,
we
huh?
we escaped. The nick of time, I think.
Gosh,
yeah.
that was brutal. But yeah, so then we went to your fabulous wedding.
Yeah.
And then recently we went to dinner and like drinks.
Yeah.
And it was Tanya, you, and then another one of your girlfriends who is, my gosh, exceptional.
Yes.
And I wish we had the microphones on then.
I do too, because everything we were talking about was so great. And I think we all left like really energized and like pumped for the new year.
I know. I was like, I need to have more of these conversations. It was just one of those like feel good learning from each one of you. It was just so great. And I feel like I want to do that today. And I want to do that moving forward in 2022, especially on this platform.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to have you on because I feel like you're just doing some badass shit and you're
Thank you.
We're trying.
I know.
We are trying.
Listen, action over perfection is what I've been told
Absolutely. So why don't you sort of like take it from the top? Like,
yeah.
Well, what are you doing now? And then maybe take us back through like your journey.
Sure. Yeah. So I run a digital marketing business with my husband now. We launched it last year, went through all the like legal business stuff, getting it into motion. We hired my family's CPA to help us out on that accounting front and making sure that, you know, we were paying taxes correctly and writing things off correctly.
That's probably the most important thing.
Yeah. It's crazy. So we've been learning a ton about that. But prior to doing that, you know, I can't even tell you how many jobs I've had in my life. like literally since 15, you know, I've been working and having multiple jobs, like basically doing random shit for like ever. But I went to school for music industry, graduated with that degree, which I'm sure people are like, what the fuck do you even do with that?
And trust what did me, you want to do? What was the goal?
You know, I was really interested in like artist management and working directly with talent to kind of help them level up. And music was such a big part of my life growing up that it was just something I felt really strongly about. So it was a rare position to be in, because I feel like when you graduate high school, you like, what do I do? I have no idea. And for me, I was like, I want to work in the music industry. I want to do this. And I'm sure your mom has a lot to do with that, actually, like seeing her perform. Yeah,
when we were little. How funny is that?
We'd be like, Tanya and I would be backstage, like picking her stuff off stage.
That is so true.
And see, do costume changes.
See, you were getting inspired and I was like cringing. I was like, oh, you're this like, is God. So embarrassing. Oh, yeah.
I loved it. I thought it was so cool. And so, yeah, I'm sure like deep down that definitely had a huge part in my journey. But my first internship was actually the assistant to the EA of this person that so I was like the assistant to the assistant, which is like, oh man, I didn't know that you could, you know, have a lower position at a company. You know, I was like, oh my God, I'm really starting from the bottom. Like I would have to run and get coffee. I one time got asked to deliver Xboxes to Cypress Hill while they were recording. So I literally had to drive across LA to drop off Xboxes. Like that was my job.
Oh so my gosh. Like anything, I've been there. I get it.
Anything they needed me to do, I was like, okay, I guess I gotta pay my dues, right? I would say like one of the biggest jumps I took was starting a music venue or helping launch one in Cleveland. So I followed an ex, you know, to Cleveland, because otherwise, why would I go there? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Don't we all?
Story of my life. It was actually a bowling alley called Mayhalls. So it's in Lakewood, Ohio. And they basically bought out this family-run bowling alley. It was like from the 20s or something. And they were like, they had this vision to turn it into this like big community type business that had live music and like events and all this stuff. And they had no knowledge about music booking or like really anything about how to do that stuff. And I really didn't either. You know, like I didn't take the class on managing a music venue, and that actually did exist at my school, but I just never took that class. And I was like, shoot, I should have taken that course. It probably would have really helped. But I, you know, pitched them and I was like, hey, like I've done this for years. I've booked my friends' bands. Like I've never worked for a music venue before, but I know I can do it. And I convinced them to hire me. And I mean, I was making nothing. I was making probably like $8 an hour. And I was busting my butt, like networking with all the other music venues, all the other booking agents, promoters. And we went from like local bands not knowing who we were to booking national talent like by the end of the year. So it was wild. Yeah, it was nuts. And
that's amazing.
Finally got burnt out from the music industry. Like I was starting to feel like, okay, I book music 7 nights a week for 2 stages. And at a certain point, I was like, every band sounds the same. Like I can't, I like started to not like music. And so I was like, shoot, like I loved music. That's why I got into this. So I was like, you know what? I gotta go. I've done all I can for this music venue.
Yeah, interesting.
I finally quit and I ended up working for the Cleveland Orchestra. And it went from this like, it was such a jarring transition because it was going from this really lax, chill environment where there's like a bar and it's like nightlife and like, you know, craziness. And then to this sort of more corporate world where, you know, it's classical music. Everybody's very like
buttoned up
and polished. Like I couldn't just show up in ratty jeans.
You're like, where's the fireball?
It's like I had to go out to like, I think I went to Express and I bought like all these suits. And things. And I was just like, great. Okay. This is it. This is what I was looking for. It was like more stability and, you know, a steady, like a higher steady paycheck. And
it's definitely a different genre of music.
It's definitely different. And I really actually loved that job because I just had a great team. I had a lot of great coworkers on that team. And I think if it wasn't for them, again, You know, I don't know how long I would have been there. Not to say that the company was bad, but it just wasn't my style. Like I right. went from this like nightlife music, like meeting really cool and hip bands to classical music. And so it was a huge transition, but I, you know, learned a lot from it. I think one of like my supervisor, Jess, was amazing. And we also had a really great friendship come out of that role. But with this role, they had so many processes in place. They're like very certain ways that they did everything. So you kind of had to conform to their process and really learn what they do to make everything work. And for me, that took a little longer than I was used to. I was sitting down with her and talking to her. We had our like weekly one-on-ones, and she told me something that has basically stuck with me to this day. But she was like, hey, like, this is a job. You are replaceable. I am replaceable. Everybody here is replaceable, no matter what they think, you know, they bring to the table. Like, it's a job. You shouldn't be going home and crying about it. You shouldn't be stressed out, worried about emails. Like, when you go home and, you know, turn your computer off. Like, disconnect. The job will be there tomorrow morning, you know? And so for me,
that's interesting because it wasn't like a you're replaceable in a bad way, like intimidating you. It was like a, like, don't take it so
too seriously.
Yeah,
exactly. And so I was like, okay, well, if she's saying that, like, I should chill. I should chill and I should like trust the process and, you know,
right.
Like, I'm going to learn how to do it and I'm going to learn how to do it well. And I eventually did. Like, I had a great time there. And then I really only left that job because I had moved out of the state. I just had an opportunity. Like, my friend knew I was coming back home and he was working for ZipRecruiter. And he had asked me, because he knew I was in events, if I was interested in an event, like a marketing events job at ZipRecruiter. And I was like, oh, he had asked me if I was interested in doing this role. And I was like, yeah, that sounds good. I'll check it out. And then by the time I moved, that role was filled. And actually, basically what happened was the guy in the role was going to leave, and then he decided to stay. So he was like, hey, but if, you know, you see anything else that you're interested in, let me know. I can still refer you. And I was like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I was looking in the marketing department. I found a part-time role that aligned with my schedule because I was doing like random contract work that was part-time and I didn't want to commit to something full-time at that point. And so he referred me for that role and I ended up getting it. And then I, for the first time, like, had really experienced what good work culture looked like. Mm-hmm. I think I had just been working for so many people in the past that never really treated their employees that well, or, you know, there wasn't enough there to keep me interested and like keep me staying in one position for multiple years.
What were some
years.
Of the things that they did?
Yeah, so it was just, you know, it was a classic tech company, right? Like, they had free snacks, like they had kombucha and like iced coffee on tap, and like literally like refrigerators full of Perrier. And like, I was just like, what? They're giving this out for free? Like, pirate's booty and like just all this fun stuff. And they had like a ton of swag that they gave all their first, like their new employees. And so it was just like a whole new world to me. I was like, oh my God, like, wait, they give us free food? Like, I get free lunch every day. Like, you're telling me that companies do this? And then that's actually where I ended up meeting my husband. We worked on the same team. And so that was also obviously a huge win for me.
Yeah,
meeting my spouse at work. But I just started to notice that, like, all the people there were really friendly. You know, you could wear jeans. Like, there are just a lot of perks that I wasn't used to, because I was working for tons of toxic people in the past, or managers that didn't really
know how to manage or lead.
Yeah, exactly. Or they wouldn't really push you, or they would keep you down because they wanted to stay ahead, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so going to Zip was a huge eye opener for me. I was like, oh my God, there are companies there that at least do their best to treat their employees well, to keep them and retain them. So I kind of like Trojan horse my way into the company. Like, I had started off in this like very small part-time role, and then I was very transparent with my director at the time, and I told him like, hey, listen, I'm coming from like manager type experience, and I'm in this kind of like out of college, like intern entry level position, and I love the company, but I can't stay doing this level of work. Like, I really need to make my way up. Mm-hmm. And he totally respected that and was like, I completely understand. Like, I think they actually thought that I was a flight risk. they almost didn't hire me because they thought I had too much experience for that role. And so
yeah, it was almost like you're overqualified for
yeah,
this.
They're like, you're a flight risk, like you're gonna leave us because you're gonna find another role. And that's exactly what my plan was, actually. I was like, I'm just gonna do this to get a steady paycheck and then move on and find a new job that is, you know, a higher level position. It did end up working out. Like, I got introduced to other people in the marketing department and then ended up transitioning to this new full-time role where I funny story, ended up working on the event side anyway. So it was like,
oh, really?
Yeah. They expanded that side of their marketing efforts. And so they needed somebody to help with events. And so I ended up actually moving into that events role eventually. So that was a really funny, like, roundabout way to get to the position that I was being recommended
for. And how long did that take you?
It took probably about a year. Okay. So I was really pretty patient and had multiple touch points with my director because I wanted to make sure that I was, you know, staying on top of mind for him and for him to like push me in that direction. And so I think, you know, that was kind of one of the first things I really learned about leveling up as far as like promotions go. Like, you have to ask and you have to like keep scheduling time with the decision maker to be able to push you in that direction.
Exactly. And that's what I was going to say. I think that's a really, really big take home because they're not going to come to you and say, hey, you deserve a raise.
Right.
Or, hey, we have a position for you.
Yeah.
I think you have to just constantly, you have to be on top of it.
Mm-hmm. And the way that I got to that event role eventually was, you know, I started helping out with that role and I kept assisting and I kept making myself available to really, you know, help in that department. And it's way easier to get the job you're going for when you're already doing the job, right? Like,
right.
I could already demonstrate, hey, I've helped with this and I've launched this and, you know, XYZ. And so I was already providing them that value. And I think a lot of people get stuck into thinking like, oh, well, I don't want to do the work without getting paid for the work. And like, I can totally, you know, understand that. And I agree with that on some level, but, you know, pave your way, you know, like pave your own way, start doing the job that you want to do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, pressure your managers or whoever you're reporting up to that's the direction you want to go in. Because when companies are hiring or they're trying to retain talent, it's better for them to promote from within, even if they are looking for external candidates, because it's less money for them to invest in you as an existing employee than a complete stranger or like outsider.
Right.
And so I really learned that at Zip. Like, I really pushed for what I wanted and I kept pushing for promotions and raises. And within, I think, a year and a half, I'd gotten like two promotions. So,
oh, wow. Good for you.
Yeah. Thank you. And it's really funny too, because I was looking back on an old chat with a friend when I first got offered that Cleveland Orchestra position. And that was like my first like big girl money job. I was like, yes, I'm finally going to make, you know, decent money here. And I took the first offer. I didn't even negotiate. And I remember telling my friend who I told the news to, I was like, oh my God, I got the position. I'm so excited. And he was like, did you ask for a higher salary? And I was like, my response to him, which like I found in an old G-chat conversation, I was like cringing at it because it's like everything I tell my friends who are like trying to negotiate higher salaries, like this is what to not do, right?
Right.
And
let me print this out for you.
Yeah,
send it.
I will take screenshots of this conversation because it was like, oh my God, I was just looking at this and I was like, oh, if I could go back in time. But my response to him was like, no, I didn't. I took the first offer because what if they have another candidate that they, you know, give this offer to, and they'll take it at that salary level. And I was like, oh my God, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay, always so tell negotiate. Us, so tell us what to do.
Yeah. So in my experience, you know, obviously never take the first offer. And when I was going for my promotion, I was lucky because I had really great female mentors. Like, our marketing department was mostly female, and to the point where other people coming to finally see our department was like, wow, you guys have a lot of girls on your team. Like, you have a lot of women on your team. And I was like, okay, would you say that about an all-male department? Like, come on. Like, what about the engineering department, you know, next door? All dudes. No one's saying anything about that. So that to me was like, oh, you know something's wrong when...
like, when they have to make a comment.
Yeah, the first time ever we have a, like, all-female department or something. I had a really great director. She still is... one of my, you know, favorite mentors. And she, I like asked her, hey, can you tell me what the new salary for this position ballpark range would be? And she like, she came to my desk and she wrote the number on like a little sticky note. And on the bottom she goes, but you've heard the saying, never take the first offer, right? And so I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so basically, like, I guess my advice is, yes, definitely never take the first offer. But if you're, I think if you're like me 10 years ago, you're maybe lacking the confidence to ask for that money, right? Like, you're already feeling grateful, right, that you're getting this promotion or that you're getting a promotion. So you sometimes feel like, this is good enough, or like, you know,
I'm worth more.
Yeah, I'm like, I shouldn't be asking for more money, or like, I'm too scared to ask. I definitely tell all my friends to always ask now and to always negotiate when you have the opportunity, especially when you're being offered the job for the first time, because you may not get another opportunity for months to get that promotion. So now is like, seize the moment. Like,
so what are some of the tools that you would suggest?
Yeah, so I what I do is I do some salary research. So if you go to like Glassdoor, salary.com, really any of those types of websites, you can type in your job title just to get a base level of like what the going salary ranges in your city. But also, I don't like to tell people to just look based on title. Titles vary across different companies. Like, my senior marketing associate position at Zip probably could have been a manager, senior manager plus, you know, position at another company. It really just depends on their size, how they're doing. So I like to pay attention to the actual job description. And if it's in line with what I'm doing or what I'm going to be doing, that's what I focus on, not necessarily the title. And you might surprise yourself. You might find jobs that are above your title, but you're doing those things. So it's like, why not? Like, that should actually give you more confidence to apply to those higher roles. And so I'm looking for that, and I'm trying to gauge how much that salary is. And then I also think about what I've done and what I've accomplished for that company. And I use that more so to build up my confidence in asking. Like, when I have more data points, I feel more confident going into conversation because numbers speak way louder than words. And so when I'm negotiating, like, that's what I look at. And that's kind of how I anchor the salary that I'm asking for. It's like, what do I personally want? Like, what are my personal salary goals? What are these websites telling me that average salary looks like based on the role? And then, you know, going into negotiations, like, think outside of salary as well. Like, maybe they can't offer you that money right now, but maybe there are other things that you can negotiate for, like more more work from home days. Like if you have to report into the office, maybe it's for them to pay for your gym membership, or maybe it's to help compensate some of your gas money to travel to work.
Yes.
There are multiple things that aren't monetary that you can still negotiate for. And a really good example is one of my friends had texted me when he was negotiating for a new job. And he was like, what do I email them? And I literally wrote the email for him. I was like, let me do it for you. Yeah, here's the template. Send this. Let me know what they say. And basically, he was looking to get maybe like, it wasn't even that much more money. It was like maybe like $3,000 to $5,000 more or something. Mm-hmm. And they gave him an offer that was slightly below what he was hoping for. And so I told him like, okay, well, you have to drive to Long Beach for this job, which for him is quite a drive because he's in, you know, West LA, and that could be anywhere from like an hour plus depending on traffic. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, why don't you see, because he's like, oh, I really don't want to go in every single day to the office. And I'm like, why don't you negotiate for that then? If they're not going to give you more money, then why don't you ask for, you know, additional work from home days and only reporting into the office for like...
Were they already paying like for his mileage and gas and all of that?
I don't think they were. And that's probably
he probably
could have asked for that. But when he went back to them and asked for those additional work from home days or like remote days, mm-hmm. they ended up just increasing his salary. They're like, hey, you know what? We'll give you $5,000-$6,000 more, right? Yeah. And it was like basically like, take the money and shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
And so he was like, oh, they came back to me with a higher salary. And I'm like, great. So it's like, you know, just try to ask for as much as you can. Like the worst they'll do is say no.
Exactly. And it's so important to feel confident. I know in my experience in my field, right? Yeah. That whole assistant field mm-hmm. is so gray.
Oh yeah.
And we're going to get to that. But I remember I was never really prepared.
Yeah.
Like I thought I was prepared. Like I thought I knew what my number was. Mm-hmm. But I didn't because I was like, well, what am I worth? What is the job worth? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. You know what helps with that, surprisingly, is I asked all my coworkers, like people I knew that were in the position I was going for prior to me, if they were still in the company or maybe they had left and gone off to other companies, or even my friends who have similar roles. Like I am done with the whole asking about salaries as a faux pas. It's actually very helpful. It's very helpful to know. It's like I could just ask, hey, my friend who was in this position I'm going for, what did you make?
What did you make
in this position? Because then it's like I want to know what the person before me was making, but then I also want to eventually ask for more than that, right? Like
I didn't have that. And I didn't have any friends that did what I did. Mm-hmm. I was playing so many different roles. I had so many different hats, and there was so much growth there for me and you could, you know, go on those salary.coms and mm-hmm. look up, you know, what executive assistants actually make and whatnot, but it's not specific.
Right.
And so it was just so difficult because then you get in and then you're pumped, right? You're like, okay, this is my number. This is what I want. I'm going to go in there and I'm going to tell them and I'm going to tell them all the things that I do for them. And then you sit down and then you're like, you feel instantly this little, right? And you're like, okay, I'll take whatever you want to give me. And so, especially when they're really intimidating, you know, and they're really good talkers that can, I was never good at being in the room mm-hmm. and going back and forth. Had I been through an email, I could kill emails all day.
Yeah.
But in the room, it is kind of terrifying.
It is terrifying. And I think a lot of that comes down to being prepared to walk into that conversation. Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do you do to pump yourself up? You know, like listen to music, do the power stance. Like there are so many ways that you can pump yourself up to kind of mentally prepare you for that conversation. And then also like just write it out, you know, practice in front of a mirror what you're going to say, because sure, when you go in there and you're intimidated, right, maybe your boss is like a super badass and very good at negotiating. Well, if you practice enough, if you say it out loud, you're kind of relying on that muscle memory and that, like, you know, habit. And so I would say definitely practice, like the more you say it out loud, the better it'll come out when you actually go to present. It's something I do too, especially when I'm doing presentations for leadership or, you know, in front of a ton of people. Even if it's one-on-one, like there's something about practicing what you're going to say and going in there. I think it also helps with your confidence when you do get it out to the mm-hmm. person you're supposed to.
And I would also say that when you almost have to think, okay, well, say they don't want this. What do I think they're going to come at me with?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Do I think they're going to tell me no because I didn't achieve this or I didn't do that? Like, I feel like you have to have like your comebacks ready to go.
Yeah. And I always like to ask, so say, you know, say like my salary goal is like $150,000, right? Like maybe that's my ultimate salary goal. I don't ask for 150. I'm probably going to ask for 165 or 160.
Right.
Like I'm going to buffer it up so that when they do come back to me, hopefully it's closer to the number that I actually want, because mm-hmm. you do have to expect some kind of back and forth negotiation. When I finally accepted my first promotion, I had 3 rounds back and forth with our CMO because mm-hmm. we weren't agreeing on a number and I wasn't backing down. And so give yourself some buffer when you're asking for a salary number. But also, think, like, don't go too wild. Don't be like...
But if you think it's like a $10,000-$15,000 buffer?
That's always worked for me, honestly. Like, and that's something that I actually got from a colleague. He was like, just ask for 10 to 15 always, like on top mm-hmm. of what you really mm-hmm. want. And for me, that's always been a pretty good number. Like, I usually do up it about that number. And then I always fall within what I want, maybe slightly under what I want, but like it's usually around what I want when I give that kind of buffer.
Right. Right.
I think it also just depends on your field. But again, it's like the more research you do with your salaries, asking your network and stuff like that, the better understanding you'll have of what to ask. But yeah, just shoot for the stars when it comes to that. Yeah.
You got nothing to lose but your job. Just kidding.
Well, so I think that is a common worry for people when they're going to accept, like, I mean, I told you my story about fearing that they'll offer the job to somebody else who would take that amount. But I think that is a worry for a lot of people. Like, what if they rescind my offer? And at this point, I've talked to enough recruiters where I know that that's usually not the case. It's never not happened, right? It's happened once in a blue moon. But usually that does come from other factors and not just mm-hmm. because you asked for more money.
Yeah.
And it is like a very rare thing. So I don't want to scare people off from asking because
yeah, just
like,
don't,
it's happened.
Don't go in with it with fear. Don't go into just, it with fear.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also like if that employer rescinds your offer because you're trying to negotiate, like, do you even want to be working for that company?
Amen, sister.
Like, do you really want
yes.
to be working for them? Like, that to me sounds off more red flags about their culture than it does about, you know, doing something wrong on your end.
With HelloFresh, you can get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. The new year is a great time to focus on what's important to you, whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness. HelloFresh is here to help with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen so you can spend it on other resolutions with meals ready in about 30 minutes or less. Plus, quick and easy meals, including 20-minute recipes and low prep and easy cleanup options, provide an easier, faster route to putting food on the table. Don't forget dessert. Satisfy your sweet tooth with seasonal limited time goodies like Dunkaroo cookie dough or Vanilla Delight cheesecake. I'm telling you guys, this is the only way to go. Fresh food delivered to your door. It's something you can do with the family because it's that easy. Everything is already pre-portioned. You don't have to think about it. Help, you know, the kids can help put one dish on the plate and you can do the other. It's just so fun. It's so easy. So go to HelloFresh.com/humble16 and use code humble16 for up to 16 free meals. and 3 gifts, you guys. Do not miss out on this. That's HelloFresh.com/Humble16 and use code Humble16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. It's officially 2022, and now's the time to set your wellness routine into action and prioritize your health. Care of allows your vitamin routine to be personal, easy, effective, and constantly evolving. Stay on track with your health goals this new year thanks to Care of's Daily Vitamins Pack that make organization and your resolutions easy to stick to every day. Care of is a subscription service that ships high quality, personalized vitamins and powders conveniently to your door every month. Take a short, in-depth quiz about your health goals and lifestyle and get personally tailored recommendations based on your answers. You can stick with what Care of recommends or change up your pack at any time. Care of's products are made from good-for-you clean ingredients that are backed by the latest science and research so you can feel good about what's going in your body. Look, you guys, it's an easy quiz. Riley even took it, and he does not have a good attention span, but he actually loves it. I love it, and I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't. So for 50% off your first Care of order, go to takecareof.com and enter code HUMBLE50. That's 50% off your first Care of order if you go to takecareof.com and enter the promo code HUMBLE50. Public Goods is the one-stop shop for sustainable, high-quality, everyday essentials made from clean ingredients at an affordable price. Everything from coffee to toilet paper and shampoo to pet food. Public Goods is your new everything store, thoughtfully designed for the conscious consumer. Rather than buying from a bunch of single product brands, Public Good members can buy all their premium essentials in one place with one beautiful streamlined aesthetic. Public Good searches the globe to find clean, healthy, eco-friendly, and innovative products. And look, as much as I love everything that's eco-friendly and good for me and good for the ecosystem, I also like pretty packaging. And look, there's no bright colors and mismatched packaging here. It's all beautiful and aesthetically pleasing to the eye. So knowing what's in your products and where they come from is important. They ethically source and obviously develop each of their products to be free of unhealthy ingredients and harmful additives still common on drug and grocery store shelves. They are committed to making their products healthy and safe for humans, animals, and the environment. They use a membership model to keep costs low and pass on even more savings to their customers. Best of all, you can make your first purchase with no obligation. Join hundreds of thousands of others who have switched to their new everything store. We've worked out an awesome deal, so receive $15 off your first Public Goods order with no minimum purchase. That's right. They are so confident that you will absolutely love their products and come back again and again that they are giving you $15 to spend on your first purchase. You have nothing to lose. Just go to publicgoods.com/humble or use humble at checkout. That is publicgoods.com/humble to receive $15 off your first order. Audible is the leading provider of spoken word entertainment all in one place. At Audible, you can find the largest selection of audiobooks, ranging from the bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, languages, business, motivation, and more like original entertainment from top celebrity creators and thousands of popular and binge-worthy podcasts. As an Audible member, you will get one credit every month, good for any title in your entire premium selection. That means that the latest bestseller, the buzziest new release, the hottest celebrity memoir, or that bucket list title you've been meaning to pick up, those titles are yours to keep forever in your Audible library. Plus, you get full access to their popular Plus catalog. It's filled with thousands and thousands of audiobooks, original entertainment, guided fitness and meditation, sleep tracks for better rest, and podcasts, including ad-free versions of all your favorite shows and exclusive series. You can always find the perfect title for whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, or whatever you're feeling. Whether it's comedy, romance, suspense, true crime, science fiction, or fitness and wellness, you can even squeeze in a workout or guided meditation without having to go to a gym or a class. I know for me, if Piper's having a moment, I like to throw on something for her that's going to be more relaxing. It is definitely my go-to when I'm in the car. Oh, you guys have to do this. With everything you love to listen to all in one app, Audible is your playlist for life. New members can always try Audible for 30 days on us. Visit audible.com/humble or text Audible to 500-500. That's audible.com/humble or text to 500-500.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I listened to Mel Robbins, who's this, you know, inspirational
amazing
speaker.
Yeah.
And, you know, her story just, it stuck with me because she was, right? She was a lawyer for a while, and then she started doing speaking engagements, and she was really surrounded by men, and men that she really was, you know, inspired by and whatnot. And she did one speaking engagement with two other men or three other men, and moral of the story was that they paid them way more than they paid her. And after this, and she closed the whole event, and she killed it. And the someone came afterwards, I think it was like the CFO or something, and told her, I just want to let you know, and you're not going to like what I have to tell you, but we almost didn't hire you because you charged so little. And all these men got paid so much more than you, and yet you were the best. And her whole entire career, she was like, I don't want to overcharge because I don't want to lose jobs over it. And she was like, you know, the moral of the story is don't underestimate yourself, don't underpay yourself, and know your worth. And I just thought that was so, you know, powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that happens more often than we see, you know, or hear about. I've worked with a few executive assistants who now like have launched their own businesses, and they come across that all the time where they, you know, get approached to do like free speaking things, and they're like, well, I want to get paid.
Talk about what you're doing now.
Sure. So I co-founded a free newsletter. Basically, I got furloughed from ZipRecruiter because of the pandemic. And a lot of people, you know, got laid off because of COVID and, you know, businesses being affected by everything. I was like one of 50 people that got furloughed, which was like, to me, kind of a compliment, I guess, from them, because it was like they still wanted me, but like I strictly worked in events and there were no events happening.
So I
really couldn't hold it against them. And so I was like, shoot, like, what do I do next? And I got introduced to my now mentor and co-founder, but basically I started community managing for two private Facebook groups, and one is specifically for executive assistants. And that niche is like fascinating. And I love that you came kind of from that background.
That was my background.
And it's fascinating because like, to me, assistants, like, they're so undervalued, but they provide so much value. They're the ones that like get thrown random things at them and are like, figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I guess I have to. So like huge community of these problem solvers. And the community was very engaged. And there were probably like 12 to 14,000 people in this group. So it was very active. And they were sharing a lot of like tips with each other and knowledge. And it got to a point where it was kind of getting lost in the daily shuffle of people, you know, just posting daily. And so a few people had approached me being like, hey, I love all the information in this group and like the tips, but it's kind of hard to search for them because of all the posts. Like, is there a more streamlined way that we can get the info? And I was like, no, but that's a really great idea. So we pulled the group and asked if they'd be interested in some kind of like newsletter that basically, you know, took all these really great tips and then added, you know, more and was a weekly thing. And everybody was like, yes, we want this. So my co-founders and I launched a free newsletter called The Assist. And basically we went from serving the admin professional, like EA community, with like professional and personal development tips each week. And then I think last summer we were getting a lot of feedback from our readers and started noticing more, you know, titles come in that weren't just in that EA world. You know, we were getting people from marketing, from sales, from HR, and people giving us like really great positive feedback saying, hey, like your stuff is good for a lot of people, you know, not just for EAs. Like it's, you know, valuable stuff for even myself. And so we widened, you know, our audience target, and now we're really trying to serve like badass women who are, you know, trying to level up at work. And not to say that we don't have male readers, but I think, you know, when we were doing the exercise of identifying, you know, what problems and what challenges our readers were having, like we were already skewing female because we came from the EA space. But we realized that there aren't that many like resources for women, especially free ones, right? Like for, you know, professional advice. And even talking with like you, Tanya, and like the rest of our friends, like about negotiations and salary, like negotiations and raises and, you know, what do you do when this happens at work? I just was like, you know what? I don't have a subscription to any newsletter that does this. So like we felt pretty confident that we were entering a space where, you know, there weren't that many people doing it. I mean like people are doing it, like we're partnered with a few like other female professional communities that are doing really cool stuff, but there's always room for more in my opinion. And especially when we can work together to bring good content to people. Like I don't go into it being like, oh, all of these female driven communities are my competitors. Like I see them as collaborators a lot of the time. And
I love that.
You know, I think there is space for that. And so what's really funny is today we launched our fourth email of the week. So we were doing one weekly send a week for basically the entire year last year. And then last quarter we were like, hey, let's increase our sends because people are saying they want to see more content, they want more stuff from us. So we ended up launching two additional emails, which brought us to three a week. And today we launched our Wednesday email, our first one ever, and it's called Woman Wednesday. And our initiative is really to identify you know, badass professional women within our subscriber family to highlight every week. And
I love that so much.
And it's really funny because we got the most feedback from this send than any other sends.
Really?
Because I think people are touchy about when you single out a group to highlight. Like, and I mean, funny enough.
Wait, was it positive or negative feedback?
Mixed. So we got both.
Okay.
But what's
like, why
funny
is this bitch in my feed and not me?
Not even that. Actually, the women were like pumped and they're like, and I've
oh,
gotten,
okay.
We basically each week you can like nominate somebody to be featured. And so we got a few nominations, which was exciting. And we polled everybody and like 90, I think it was like 94% of poll takers like loved the email. And they're like a handful of people that didn't like it, which like always happens. You're not gonna please them. You can't please everybody.
Yeah, it's like, do you want free money? And there's still gonna be people that are like, no, I don't want free money. Like
but
it's
the,
that.
Yeah, but the feedback from one person who happens to be a male was like, I'm surprised to see that you guys are doing a Woman Wednesday. Like, this is a slippery slope. Are you also going to have like a Man Monday, or like, you know, like a man featured one, or like this featured? And I was like, I didn't know how to respond. I still haven't responded to that person, and I respond to all my subscribers. So I will find, you know, a way to respond to this. I think for me, though, like personally, like, well, I co-founded the brand, you know, like I co-founded this newsletter, and I'm a female, and like, I don't see nearly enough women CEOs or like business owners, or like, or if they do exist, like, we don't see them highlighted that often.
Right.
And so like, why wouldn't I, as a woman, empower other women?
Right.
For me, it's like, we're a very small team. Like, I just brought somebody on full time this year, or this month, because we're trying to scale and we're trying to grow. And I'm one person. I can't do everything.
It's a lot.
And so I'm really grateful to have her on full time, but we're still learning. Like, we've been doing this for, you know, we launched September of 2020, so just over a year, close to a year and a half, and starting, you know, we're always testing small and trying to scale up, but
But I think what you did is so, like, that is even a take home message. Like, you saw that there was something missing, and you created a solution for it.
For sure. I think when you're trying to really provide solutions that help other people, that's enough to drive me and motivate me, like, personally. Like, I love helping people. I actually have held millions of assistant type jobs in the past. And I think, or what continues to drive me, is the feedback that we get from subscribers, because, like, sure, for every like one or two pieces of hate mail, we have like 10 others being like, I love this, like, you've helped me so much in my job, and I get tips from this like every, you know, week. So, you know, that for me, it feels really good, and it makes me want to continue putting out good content.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, I wish I had it when I was, you know, in that field. Because I would have felt like there was a community that I could talk to, I could ask questions, I wouldn't feel like I'm going crazy, because sometimes you feel like, am I the only person in this
You're
world
like,
that
am
is
am I just complaining a lot, or is this bad? Is it, or am I in a toxic
am I the only
workplace?
One answering emails at 3 a.m.?
Like, yeah. No, so, yeah. So it's good. Like, I've learned a lot. I never worked in email marketing, so, you know, it was definitely daunting to go from, hey, let's just like launch this and see what happens, to now I have aggressive revenue goals and subscriber goals. And
good for you.
Yeah, it's great. It's nice to have, you know, those mentors, though. I think I've learned a lot from the two that I have. And then obviously my husband, who has been working for himself, you know, for the last 2 to 3 years. So I've learned a lot from each of them. For me, the biggest struggle is just going into the day with complete confidence and knowing that you can do what you need to do. And that you're going to get things done, and that you're going to hit your goals. I think running into imposter syndrome is something that you tend to run into when you're starting a new job, or when you're transitioning careers into a different industry, or just really starting anything new. For me, like, my favorite part about the assist is that it's probably the most consistent thing I've done, like putting out content every single week, and now 4 times a week. That shit's hard. It's hard. I don't know what else to say. It's really hard.
It is hard. It's a whole new world, and this whole content world's insane.
It is
and
insane.
There's so much information being thrown at you. You have to catch people's attention. The fact that I think a lot of people right now are pivoting, right?
Yeah.
And they've had to pivot all the past 2 years. But in November, there was 4.3 million people that resigned from their jobs.
Oh, yeah.
It was called the Great Resignation.
It's a real thing.
Right. So there are millions of people out there that are probably starting small businesses like what you're doing.
Yeah, I love to see it.
Going into new you know, fields that they never even thought that they could even do or want to do. So I feel like just having these conversations, it's like, okay, she did it. and she's thriving. So not that it's easy, but that it's doable.
It's a grind, but like if you find something that you are passionate about or that you really believe in, I think that gives you enough fuel to at least start. And then once you start doing it and really learning and seeing everything you've accomplished, that helps you keep going. And then the response that you get either from your audience or just seeing the impact that you have is really rewarding, you know, like being able to help people feel more confident in their jobs or go for that, you know, salary negotiation or, you know, expand their horizons and leave something that they like. We probably get feedback from readers all the time where they say they feel stuck because they've been in one industry, you know, for like years, like 10 plus years, and they don't feel confident that they can move to something else. But it's like, dude, you've done all these things as, you know, an EA. Like your whole job is learning new things and pivoting and, you know, rising up to the challenge. Like,
well, see, that's me. Like,
you can take that to something else and make yourself successful.
But it's hard because I feel like when you make being that your career, you almost feel like, the jack of all trades, but like the master of none.
Master of none,
Like quite literally, right?
But honestly, I've felt like that my entire career. And now that I've launched this business, I'm like, oh, shit.
Like
it all helps. My random part-time job in accounting, that's helped. My random job like assisting you know, kids on this one like year, like that's how, like there's so many, like you probably will end up, it might take years, but you'll end up in a position where you'll finally realize like, oh, all those quote-unquote random skills I learned from this
have
job
led up
I had,
to this moment. Had,
yeah, it's built you up for the exact moment that you're supposed to be in.
Absolutely.
And that's like really how I've felt with launching this is like, because when I launched The Assist, I was like, shoot, I've never been an EA, but I was a personal assistant. I was an office manager. I was an admin assistant. I was like all these things. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I have a lot of things to offer. Like, I've done a lot of stuff. So I think it's just most of the time you're in your own head and you're telling yourself that you can't do it. But what I've tried to kind of pivot into, especially last year, because it was a really, really rough year, pretty much a year ago, like I was finding out that my mom had a brain tumor. And she was going into literally the day of the Capitol insurrection.
Yeah.
She was in surgery for like a brain tumor. And then I was also, I had taken
yesterday was the year anniversary.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, or today. Because it
was it today or yesterday? I don't remember.
I think it was today or tomorrow.
Well, when they're listening, it'll be a few days, but
Oh, right. Yeah. It was like, So about a year ago, you know, I had taken, I was working two jobs. So I was like launching The Assist, and I'd taken on contract work for another company full time. And then all this stuff happened with my mom, and we were dealing with, you know, my brother's addiction to meth, which was really, it's still really hard, but it was like really all coming to a point where I felt like the world was ending. I was like, oh my gosh, what is happening?
And we have very similar lives in that regard. And it's very heavy on the family, on you. Mm-hmm. You feel like you have to almost hold up the whole family, right? And your parents, and you feel like you're almost parenting the parent.
It's
a lot going on, and you have to take care of yourself.
It's a lot. And then it was like, oh God, like So basically all that stuff was happening and I was getting to my breaking point, and then I decided to not pursue that one contract role because they had offered me full time, and it would have been really great money and it would have been good experience. It was another tech company, and I turned them down because my husband was really pushing me to do The Assist full time. And he was like, just an amazing cheerleader, just like my biggest supporter, and was like, I know you can do this. And I'm telling you that this is going to pay off way more than working full time for somebody else. So I finally listened to him. I gave in. I'm a really like low risk kind of person.
Yeah.
And when you're asking me to, you know, walk away from a very like cushy full time tech job to do something I've never done before, I'm like, oh my God, I don't know if I can do it. But I took that leap of faith and
sometimes
here we are.
You gotta get uncomfortable.
I mean, honestly, you know? Running your own business, you're always uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And like you're always uncomfortable. Even and I think I saw like my friend post this like Instagram, I don't know, quote or something, and it was something about how like when you're your own boss and you're running your own business, even winning or like even your achievements are uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Because you never experienced that before.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, that's so true.
Yeah.
It's like I hit all these milestones and I'm like, wait, but I don't have anything to anchor that to. Is that good?
Totally. Totally. And then you're like, but like, does this mean, and then you don't want to be like boast about yourself. Right. So then it's like right. Uncomfortable. You want to like play it down. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's no big deal. You know,
no big deal. Yeah. I crushed my revenue goal. No
yeah.
Big deal.
No big deal.
It's like
but it is a big deal. And I think that sometimes we have to be our own cheerleaders and remember that like, hell yeah, I did that.
Yeah,
like,
I did that.
Yeah, you like, have to. You just, have to remember that.
Just making, you know, an email every week, you know, on a consistent basis, like that's a huge win in itself.
Right? Totally.
Like, I did that consistently. I don't even
showing
work out.
By the way, showing
yeah,
up.
Showing up.
Showing up.
Because I don't even work out that consistently over yeah. a year. Like I have pockets where I'm like off the grid and then I'm like back into a workout. But like this is something that I did every single freaking week and yeah. it's still going. And so like the consistency really plays a huge role in that. But also just like your mindset. Like I don't know if you do this, Nat, but I bought that freaking, what is it? That 5-minute journal thing you can get on
yeah.
Amazon. And it's like all about mindfulness and stuff. But when I was going through all that shit with my mom and my brother and like working two full-time jobs, like I wrote in that thing every single morning
mm-hmm.
and it definitely helped. Like it just kept me in a more positive frame of mind that like I can accomplish this and I can do this. And like
yeah.
it makes you do affirmations and all that stuff. And I honestly never believed in that stuff
yeah.
beforehand. And now I'm like a huge, huge.
I started like, it last year, and, I, and it's not even like that exact one. You guys can get any journal. And
you can create a list on your piece of paper.
By the way, mine's blank, and all I write is basically just what I'm grateful for. Because I think you should always start off with just like a grateful heart.
Yeah.
Like, what am I grateful for? And then, like, what are the things that I want to crush? What do I want to achieve?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to make me feel like I am fulfilled as a human being? And I feel like just writing that down every day, you turn back and you're like, oh shit, did that.
Yeah, it's cool. So this one, it's similar format. It's like you list the three things that you're grateful for and then three things that would make your day great.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you're kind of setting, you know, daily goals. And then you do that in the morning. And then at night, you do like a little recap and you're like, oh, what three amazing things happened today? And what are two things that could have been better?
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so it's cool. It's really like, it's...
I'm not sure I have. I'm not sure I can do that two times a day.
it's hard to keep up, but honestly, when I was doing it really consistently, that's when I saw really great results in my work.
Because you were keeping yourself accountable,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's like signing up for a gym class and like having to go, because if not, they're going to charge you $10 to miss the class. It's like you just have to show again. It's part of the showing up, right?
It is about showing up and staying consistent and. Really trying to beat, you know, the negative self-talk that you probably fall into. You know, we're human. Like, you're gonna run into doubts all the time. But, like, at least when you start doing things like this, like, you start to pick up on that. And then you're like, oh, wait, I shouldn't
be thinking
that way.
It's a chain reaction. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that the more positive it's like the, getting back to Mel, but like the high five, right? The power of the high five. And she was saying how, you know, what's the one thing that the winning NFL teams have in common, or the the NBA teams have in common is it's
oh, they
not,
all high five.
They all high five each other. They smack each other in the ass and they're like, good job. Cause we're a team and we're not, you know, you're not doing this alone. You're together. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when you build that with yourself and you high five yourself, it creates this sort of chain reaction of, I got this. Mm-hmm. And it's the, you know, as simple as like when they say, you know, just put a smile on your face, even if you're upset, just smile and it will change how you feel. And so I feel like even those small things throughout the day, when you want to talk shit to yourself of like, ugh, I'm fat or ugh, I'm this. It's like, no. Just change it and say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. I just feel like that all plays such a huge role in, on like the big, on like on a big scale.
Yeah, totally. And my mentor does that a lot. Like when he's like jumping off of our meetings, like he'll be like, oh, I have to take my kids to soccer. He's like, no, I get to take my kids to soccer. And it's like, it is that mindset that you have to start fostering.
Yes.
And so, I think that's really how you get to level up is just by, you know, believing in yourself, A.
Yeah.
But B, just dropping the fear of failing and seeing it more as like an opportunity to grow. And that's kind of how I've spent the last, you know, year and a half really trying to build up is just those tiny habits because they, you know, they grow exponentially and then they take you to all these new places that you've never been to and that you never thought that you could accomplish. So
well, I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
And
you too.
It's
so fun to hear you every week. And Tanya too. Like I'm glad that she started her own thing. So.
Me too. And I feel like, you know, this we are building a community, right? Mm-hmm. And before you know it, people are like, thank you for getting me through my week.
Yeah.
And it's like that right there, that just made my day. And that's why I continue doing what I'm doing. So
exactly.
I love you. Thank you for coming on the show. Where
Thanks
can people
for having
find
me.
You?
Yeah. So if you want to subscribe to The Assist, you can go to jointheassist.com/humble. It's a free email. So, you know, no credit cards, nothing, just free tips that we get from, you know, our subscribers and just, you know, from other professionals that we talk to all the time. So
awesome.
Yeah, sign up.
Go level up, baby. I feel like every time I hear level up, I hear Sierra.
Level up.
On that note, level up. Love you. And I
love
will
you
see
too.
You soon. Bye.
See you soon.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode and learned a thing or two. I know it can be very intimidating, you know, asking for a raise or understanding your worth. Trust me, I have been there way too many times. So I hope that today's episode really gives you a little bit more confidence going into 2022 and don't accept the first offer. Okay. If anything, don't do it. All right. As promised, I told you I would play the song that I had made for Riley. It's called Over and Over Again, and it's very, very special to us. It's basically our love story, and if you know a little bit about it, you know that we fell in love in Paris, and I found out I was pregnant on his way to Paris the second time. He proposed at our gender reveal, and so it really is a token to our love, and we may or may not actually play it as our wedding song. So I will see you guys next week. Remember, stay humble and stay hungry.
From Southern California to dancing in the streets of Paris in love, champagne and caviar kisses, it was all I could dream of. 1 year later on a plane to we found out two would become three, right before the gender reveal. You got down on one knee. dance in Paris, endless kisses. Life with you is simply bliss. You love more than you know. Every day I fall in love, over and over again. Dinner at the finest restaurants, amazing food and wine, dancing in the kitchen and snuggling. We have the best time. Piper and I love you so much. Remember the first time you held her. Maybe she loves you even more. Who can say? But I fall more in love with you every day. Romance in Paris, endless kisses. Life with you is simply bliss. You love more than you know. From your head to every day I fall in love, over and over again. Oh.